Hello, and welcome to Patron Deities, a show about deities for my patrons. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the 1980 Deities and Demigods supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. And as I do, I'm talking about the gods, heroes, and mythological beings that I find in it, and how to use them in your games. In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through the world of Finnish mythology. In my last episode, I talked about Väinämöinen, the main character, if not necessarily the supreme deity, of the series of mythological poems collected by Elias Lönnrot in The Kalevala. And in this episode, we're going to push on and take a look at some of the other gods and heroes who appear in those poems. So let's get started. Once again, I have to put out that disclaimer. I don't speak Finnish. So if my pronunciation is off, I really apologize. I've tried to get it right, but I can't guarantee that I always will. First up, we've got Ahto, the god of seas and waters, also sometimes called Ahti. I'm probably rasping that H a little bit more than it was Ahto or Ahti. Here's the thing. I've mentioned before that the Kalevala is a synthetic epic. So it was compiled by Elias Lönnrot, and it was based on traditional Finnish poetry, but sort of edited together by him. And in some cases, what that meant was taking episodes that weren't necessarily connected to each other and making them be about single characters. So for example, so Ahto or Ahti seem to be the same person, maybe, kind of, sort of. It's not clear. One of them is a heroic adventure character, and the other one is just kind of the sea god. And they may or may not be the same. I'm not really sure how that's supposed to work. But Ahti in the Kalevala is another name for Lemminkainen. And I think, I'm not an expert, but I think what happens here is that Lönnrot has taken a bunch of different heroic episodes relating to kind of young warrior adventurer types and has attributed them all to this composite character, Lemminkainen, whose name just means lover boy. Or words to that effect. So there's this character, Ahti the Islander, who in the Kalevala is Lemminkainen. But I think those may be distinct poetic traditions that have been fused into one. However, the Ahto that appears in the Deities and Demigods book is very much the other Ahto from the Kalevala, and he doesn't turn up very much in the poem. He's really kind of got one major appearance, and that is in poem 48 of the Kalevala. Väinämöinen and Ilmarinen are fishing, and they're looking for a particular fish. There's a fish who swallowed a magical fire. It's actually the fish who swallowed a fish, who swallowed a fish, who swallowed a fish, who swallowed a fish, who swallowed some magical fire. And they go through a whole rigmarole of making up fishing nets and getting all the equipment or whatever. And then they set up their nets, and they're going to try and catch this fish. And so they pray to Ahto and to Ahto's wife. That my translation just calls her Wave Wife, but her name is Velamo, I think. And Ahto doesn't actually appear or do anything. Instead, he sends the water dwarf to help. And the water dwarf is in fact described in the Deities and Demigods book. He's here called Ahto's Shield Man. Now, we first encountered this Shield Man back when we were talking about Skirnir, Frey's Shield Man, in the Norse mythology section. And I'm not at all convinced that the water dwarf is in any meaningful sense Ahto's Shield Man. He's just sort of like his agent, right? They need somebody to beat the water, to agitate it so that the fish will flee from the sound and into the net. And Ahto sends this little dwarfy guy to help. And the thing about him is that although he is a dwarf, he can carry out prodigious feats of strength. So he takes like a tree and a boulder to beat the water with instead of, you know, a paddle like you normally would. So although the water dwarf is small, he has superhuman strength, and it's probably that bit with the tree and the rock that we see him armed in the Deities and Demigods book with a mace, and just like as a club, I guess. And he has a crossbow because everybody has a crossbow. But I don't think that the water dwarf actually fights particularly. He's just this guy who carries out Ahto's wishes. And the only other reference to Ahto as the water god, I think, that I can find in the Kalevala, at least that's a major one, is that when Väinämöinen is out sailing in poem number 5, the one where he catches the mermaid, he refers to the sea as Ahtola. Now remember that La is an ending that means land, right? So Kalevala is the land of Kaleva, Pohjola is the land of the north, and so on, right? Like something La means the place of that thing. So we'll see that the dead go to Taunella, and there's Tapiola, which is the forest, the home of Tapio, and so on and so forth. So Ahtola is the land of Ahto, which is the ocean. So it seems that Ahto is pretty much your sea god, and that he personifies the primal force of the sea. He's an interesting look at how Väinämöinen and Ilmarinen aren't really gods, because they pray to him, and he seems pretty happy to send out his agents to help them out. But he does not appear himself, as far as I can see. Whether he is the same Ahto as the Ahti, the islander, who has these heroic adventures, not clear. But in a sense, I guess Ahti the Islander is a sea guy as well, right? So maybe. But Ahto just seems like, your water god. Next, we have a somewhat more interesting character. We have Hisi, the god of evil. Now, I'm not sure that god of evil is really the correct interpretation here, but I don't quite know how to render it. Hisi started out as a word that meant something like a sacred place, but then it came to mean just like an evil spirit. And you can talk about a Hisi or the Hisi. And the Hisi is usually rendered as just like the devil. Or, in the translation I've been using, it just says the demon. Right? So there's demons, and then there's the demon. And it can also just mean like a goblin or a giant, some kind of a supernatural being. So for example, and again, I'm almost certainly going to mess this up. In Finland, you get these cairn graves, right? They're sort of prehistoric graves that are made out of big mounds of stones, and they're called hiidenkiwas. So that means, the devil's sauna stove. So the idea is that, just like we call like a big pothole, we call it, the devil's punch bowl or something like that. So there's the sense of like, oh, it just means like a giant or a supernatural being. So whether there's a particularly personified Hisi, I don't really know. Mostly what seems to happen in Kalevala is that Hisi gets blamed for stuff going wrong, and he has magical things that people want. So let me give you some examples. We certainly see a single main Hisi, who is referred to, as I said, as the demon or the devil. And he seems to play the role that we would expect the devil to play folklorically. Probably the main place where he turns up is when Lemminkainen is out looking for a new bride. He has decided that he doesn't like his existing bride, and he's decided he doesn't like her, and he's going to get a new one from Louhi, the previously mentioned witch of Pohjola. He asks her to give him a better bride, and she says, "Oh, I'm not giving any of my young women to you, you no good so-and-so, unless you can bring me the devil's elk." Or it might be the devil's reindeer, or it might be the devil's moose. Different translations seem to use different terms, so I don't know if there's a specific term there. But anyway, he has to go on a big hunting expedition, and he has to get some magic skis made for him by a special craftsman, and he goes off skiing with his crossbow to try and find the devil's elk, and he gets it, but then it gets away from him again. And this is kind of like a lot of Lemminkainen's adventures. And the devil's elk actually turns up in another story, and that is the one where, you remember I mentioned Jokahainen, the youth who wanted to challenge Väinämöinen to a singing contest and was defeated. Well, at one point he decides, presumably full of rage and humiliation, that he's going to go and shoot Väinämöinen with his crossbow. And one of the things that we learn about Jokahainen's crossbow is that the bowstring is made from the hairs of the devil's elk. Apparently, it's a magical beast, so I guess its hair would make particularly good bowstrings. There's another example where Väinämöinen is carving a boat, and Hisi causes him to hurt himself with his own axe while he's doing that. So again, that's sort of the kind of thing the devil would be blamed for, right? Like some imp is doing mischief that, causes a mistake to happen. And there's another story in which the origin of iron is described, and It's Hisi who corrupts iron by hardening it in poison so that it has the property that, like, it hurts people, right? It wants to go out and cause wounds. And so, again, that's kind of a similar one to the bit where, you know, Hisi is responsible for Wainamoinen being injured by his own tool. So there's this sense that, like, iron is really useful, but it's also really dangerous. And the dangerous aspect of it, you know, the harmful weapon and, like, you know, the bloodthirsty part of it is created by the intervention of Hisi. Hisi in the Deities and Demigods book is actually kind of interesting. He doesn't fight. He sends in evil heroes to do his bidding. Again, I don't know that that's based on anything, but we could certainly argue that, like, yeah, that we have one big Hisi and then a bunch of lesser ones. And so that's what they could be. Finally, we come to the heroic smith Ilmarinen, and he is one of the main characters of Kalevala. So, basically, and there are more, but mainly you have these four heroes. You've got Wainamoinen, who I already mentioned. You've got Lemminkainen, who presumably will get his own entry pretty soon. You've got Kullervo, and you've got Ilmarinen. And Ilmarinen is a smith, and he's this great craftsman, and he's often in demand for making magic items. But he has, like, personal problems. He's often described as being unlucky in love, which is a really good example of an important principle in character design, which is that the thing that the character is good at and the thing that they care the most about aren't necessarily the same thing, right? So Ilmarinen is this great smith, but his problem isn't a smithing problem. His problem is that he wants a wife. I mean, honestly, as you have maybe gathered by now, the problem of a lot of these characters is that they want a wife. Finding an appropriate bride seems to be a major challenge for the heroes in these stories. Now, some people have said, and I'm not in a position to judge, that Ilmarinen's unluckiness in love is something that Lönnrot created, right? That he kind of cobbled this together from multiple different sources and introduced this theme of Ilmarinen always, you know, looking for and kind of failing to find love, because that was, like, an appropriate romantic thing, and it sort of gave him a through line, you know, that actually in some of the poems that the Kalevala was based on, Ilmarinen is a much more conventional kind of winner hero. So now you may just, listening to this, you may just be thinking, well, Ilmarinen's name sounds kind of familiar, right? It sounds like Ilmatar, which is the name of Wainamoinen's mother, and they both come from the same root word, Ilma, which means the air. And it's possible that Ilmarinen at some point was a sky god, as some people have said that he was in fact the supreme deity of this pantheon before he kind of became euhemerized and became a hero, and his role as sky god was replaced by Ukko. Whether that's true or not, I couldn't tell you, but certainly his name comes from the same root word that means the air. But he has become a smith god or a smith hero, and that's kind of the way that he's going to stay. In one of the stories in the Kalevala, Wainamoinen is off in Pohjola, and he gets taken prisoner, basically. And as ransom, he has to agree to persuade Ilmarinen to build what's probably the most important magic item in this whole story, the Sampo. And I've mentioned the Sampo before, mainly because it's the central plot element in the, as far as I know, the only major parentheses, question mark, close parentheses, motion picture based on Finnish mythology, The Day the Earth Froze. And I've just learned that The Day the Earth Froze is the title of the American release, but the name of the movie in Finland is just Sampo. So if you're looking for it on DVD in Finland, which I believe it is available, it's called Sampo. And that cut is longer and involves a plot line where Lemminkainen dies and comes back to life, which is something he does in the Kalevala, but I guess was thought of as extraneous in the film, I'm not sure. In the English language version, I think he's just lost at sea and they think he's dead, but then he turns up again. I don't think he was actually dead, but I'm not sure. Anyway, the struggle over the Sampo between Kalevala and Pohjola is kind of the central conflict of that movie. And that's good because the Sampo is a pretty miraculous item. Eventually, Ilmarinen does go to Pohjola, where he's persuaded to make the Sampo in exchange for not just having released Wainamoinen from captivity, but also, again, you know, a bride. Always looking for a bride, this guy. And the Sampo has lots of fantastical qualities. I might give it its own episode at some point, actually, because it's so important. But it's not the only magic item that he makes. In fact, when he's making the Sampo, he keeps making these flawed magic items. So he, you know, he'll make a magic item, it'll turn out to have a problem, he'll break it down and throw its bits back in the forge, he'll forge it into a new magic item, which will have a problem, so he breaks it down and throws its bits back in the forge, etc., until finally he's made the Sampo. Another magic creation of Ilmarinen's was, there was this time that, you know, because he didn't have a wife, he tried to make one out of gold and silver. And so he made this super beautiful wife for himself, but then, of course, you know, she wasn't a person, she was just like a magic being made of metal, and she was cold, and, you know, he quickly regretted his folly, and he went to Väinämöinen and said, hey, would you like to marry this lady that I made out of precious metals? And Väinämöinen said, no, you know, that's not right, you should have a person, and, you know, money isn't more important than people, right? Like, treasure is not as good as love, or whatever. And again, some people have suggested that this is a modern interpretation, you know, imposed on the story by Lönnrot, or at least on an earlier pagan poem by later Christian tellers. I'm not really sure about this, but, you know, the idea is that the golden bride kind of represents, like, graven images like the golden calf in the Bible. So there seems to be this thing where Ilmarinen is technically very capable, like he's constantly making these wondrous objects, but they often turn out to have some flaw, or he has kind of just like the sort of bad luck that even though he made this miraculous thing, it doesn't wind up making him happy like he thought it was going to. And that does seem to be a recurring theme, not just for Ilmarinen in particular, but for the heroes of the Kalevala in general. Ilmarinen is sometimes a rival to Väinämöinen and sometimes an ally. And in Deities and Demigods, so Ilmarinen, as presented in Deities and Demigods, is not actually like very detailed, certainly not to the extent that would suggest how important he is in the Kalevala, presumably because from a mythological perspective, he's not actually all that big a deal, right? I mean, he made the Sampo, that's basically what he's known for. And he's a guy who makes magic items, but it's the magic items that are interesting. But because of the format of this book, most of the magic items don't really appear, which is kind of feels like an oversight to me because they're such an important part of the story. Magical things, and in particular the Sampo, are central to the story of the Kalevala, such as it is. You could say it's divided into several stories, so they're central to at least one of the stories. So maybe that'll be an episode at the end of this run. We'll talk about the Sampo and the other magical creations of Ilmarinen. Anyway, that's about it for this episode of Patron Deities. In the next episode, we're going to talk about a few more characters from Finnish mythology. So far, I haven't talked very much about how to use these guys in games, and that's largely because it seems like Ilmarinen is, you know, more like an NPC than a deity per se, right? He's a patron. He might ask you to go do something for him and give you a magic item, or alternatively, you know, he might be a player character type. You know, this might just be the kind of fantasy world where you're going to go visit the mysterious land of the north in order to free this person and, you know, get yourself a spouse. Ahto just seems like the god of the sea is the god of the sea is the god of the sea. Certainly that's the way Lönnrot chose to present him. There may be more to him, but, you know, he was looking for a Poseidon for his pantheon. And Hisi is, you know, the devil. But it's interesting to me the extent to which this section blends heroic and divine figures. I think we haven't really seen that so far, although I know it's true of some of the other ones. So, anyway, for another time, a discussion of Ilmarinen's various magical creations, but I think that might be the way in which he primarily would appear in your campaign, is as the maker of this series of items, all of which have wondrous powers, but also all of which have some dreadful flaw. Anyway, next time, I mentioned Ilmatar, and we'll talk about her, and we're also going to talk about a number of other heroic characters, including the anti-hero Kalervo, and maybe the god of sickness, Kiputito. No, other way around. We're definitely going to talk about the goddess of sickness, Kiputito, and maybe the anti-hero, Kalervo. And if we're really quick, we might get in old wanton lover boy, Lemminkainen himself. Next time on Patron Deities, a show about deities for my patrons. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting Monster Man on Patreon.